Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Tara.
Obviously, the big news this morning, if you're just waking up, the passing of Pope Francis, died because of the time change, ended up being technically on Easter. Easter Monday, there, which is Easter Sunday here. But yes, the passing of Pope Francis. Not too surprising, given his age and the fact that he'd recently been hospitalized. I'd actually kind of looked like when he was recently hospitalized, he was maybe not coming out of the hospital. He was very, very ill, but he did, surprisingly, and yet ultimately, I think long-term, probably succumbed to just some of the damage to his body. He was elderly from that bout. It's very difficult to overcome pneumonia. After you have it, they release you. You're technically done with it. But my mom lost her fight with it over time after being hospitalized, just the damage it did to her body. So, so definitely the passing this morning of Pope Francis, breaking over the last couple of hours. And if you tune into the media, people already beginning to gather in Rome. Tune into the media. It's almost wall-to-wall coverage of the Pope passing because he's such a big international figure. So, anything you want to add?
No, you've got it. You've got it covered.
Yeah.
I mean, just the next step will be obviously the all of the ceremony that goes on with the selection of the next Pope. So,
yeah. And just given the politics set up by this pope inside the church, that next pope, do not be surprised if that next pope is not even more radical than the last pope is. I just know being Catholic and having watched just, you know, I guess the legacy of this pope, and they're not going to say this today, but the legacy of this pope is the declining influence of Rome and the Vatican on the American church. They have almost none in terms of just the day-to-day feelings of Catholics. The Pope is almost never mentioned at Mass. It's easy to forget he's there. And, you know, part of that depends on how liberal the churches you go to. Church very much, divided. You could even see it here in this area. There are the churches known to be the liberal ones and the churches known not to be the liberal ones. And people divide themselves accordingly. Francis is so completely divisive. Again, he's almost never mentioned, which is just really weird to me. Having grown up in the Catholic Church and just the absolute giant Pope John Paul was, and his just, you know, mentioned all the time. Presence was very real in my childhood because, you know, I went to Catholic school, but I mean, he was just a part of the lessons, a part of the homily, a part of everything. And Francis is simply not. He is really persona non grata. And I think a lot of that has been because they don't want to, you know, any mention of him is so controversial and gets people so spun out that it's just best for attendance if he's not acknowledged. It's a really weird situation. It really is. I get people all the time will say, you know, in the South, there's a lot of misunderstanding about what it is to be Catholic and you know, what we follow or don't do and don't, you know, with the Pope. Oh, you have to follow the Pope. No, I mean, Catholics are very much in open rebellion against the Pope. And there's a love-hate relationship there, too, between Francis and American Catholics because they defied him on Donald Trump. I mean, they went the other way. And he's been at constant war with the Trump administration, never ends. I mean, it went on, you know, in this visit with J.D. Vance and the things the Vatican was saying, using that as an occasion to weigh in on illegal immigration, which they should not. Not their business, not their priority, not their plan. In fact, I would just say as a Catholic, I think the most grating thing about this, the way that this Pope ran the Vatican, ran the church, honestly, there seemed to be a lot more of an interest to me in politics than there was in religion, which is a really weird thing. In fact, my dad and I would talk about it a lot, and I really came to believe that he was deliberately trying to drive people out of the Catholic Church as a deliberate strategy. Not all people, just people who were not hard left. And that he was very much at war with us, and not a war that he was passionately fighting against, say, the Chinese Communist Party, which has just been horrible in their abuses, which he's largely tolerated. So, I mean, you know, really taking a tougher line with Catholics in his own church, who he perceived to be aligned with Donald Trump, than, you know, Chinese Communist Party. Just very bad legacy for a pope. I mean, just I don't even know if the damage from this pope I take a lifetime to recover from. And when you talk about damage from this pope, I mean, honestly, the other thing, Lee, too, is just the incredible financial disaster that he left in his wake. And I don't know why this is more talked about. People don't write checks anymore. I mean, me personally, I thoroughly research before I write a check. Is any of this going to the Vatican? I don't want a cent of it in the Vatican. I don't want it going to the bishops' conferences. I want to make sure. And then I won't write a check, and that's a shame, because there's a lot of good charitable things, the Catholic Church does. But unfortunately, some of that money ends up, you know, siphoned off to bishops' conferences or to Rome. Bishops' conference is going to put it right into, you know, helping illegal immigrants invade our country illegally in violation of law. And I don't like my money spent for lawbreaking. So, I mean, he is absolutely torn the church apart. There aren't words for how badly this man has torn the church apart and divided it right down the middle. So that's his legacy. That's his actual legacy. No one's going to say that today, but it's been fascinating to watch. And you know, anything you want
to
add?
Now, I'm having to be very careful. I'm just a redneck Southern Baptist, yeah. So I'm just going to have to. You know much more about this and are much more familiar, obviously, as a practicing Catholic. So you've got it covered.
But in terms of actual, you know, hard facts, the absolute damage financially from, you know, Francis taking, you know, seeming to be, I guess, more interested in politics than he is in anything having to do with religion, and then the wallet snapping shut. With Catholics, they're having, I mean, there's an operating deficit right now. I looked up what it's up to, $87 million, the largest in history. That's for the most recent year they've publicly published, full year, which was 2023. 2024 hasn't come out yet. And a lot of that is just people doing what I do, not wanting to donate, not wanting to support the Pope in any way, feeling like the Pope is at war with us. And it is hurting the church very, very badly. And then on top of that, just the financial mismanagement, they were having to sell properties off just to pay the bills, yeah. Which I think is great. I think that the church should not be rich. I think the church should be very poor. You know, just the bare bones, the rest should be spent on the poor and furthering
exactly.
The religion.
And exactly.
Yeah. So to me, when you see them having to sell off property that the Vatican owns, that's a good thing. That property should be sold. We don't need a lot of property. So we don't need those things. So that's good in a weird way, but yeah, a ton of damage, and do not be surprised if the Cardinals don't go further to left, given the makeup of who will be voting, and it doesn't get exponentially worse. But, you know, we don't want to see anybody, you know, die or pass or anything like that, so, you know, on a human level, is a big story. But there's not going to be the grief there was over John Paul. He was just so beloved. And that's just missing now. So Really interesting, too, is as well, just the controversy of how he came to office in terms of the, you know, we have a living pope.
Yeah.
In Ratzinger.
I don't think in my lifetime that's ever happened before. I mean,
And it has happened in the history of the church, but not in a lifetime. And there's a lot of controversy over how and why he retired and who the legitimate pope actually is. And that's been going on for quite some time, and I won't bore you with it. But that sort of, I don't know, scandal controversies hung over the church too. So this has been, if you're a Catholic, a very, very, very controversial pope and term. So I think the thing to me that defines it the most is my dad was visiting us during his 2015 visit, and we were in church. And he was here, and it was in America, and it was the biggest thing on the news. And my dad was floored. The whole mass never once mentioned he was in America. And my dad was like, I can't believe this. We never even came up that it was that he was in America. I'm like, yeah, it's probably best that way because it won't cause, you know, people angry phone calls on Monday to the church office.
That, yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that was it. It was just kind of controversial term, and unfortunately, I fear the next one's going to be worse.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Retreat began over the weekend. Democrats used to having the media cover for them, didn't bother to do any background research into what turns out would be the MS-13 wife-beating gang member who was apparently human trafficking on the side, who they went all in for. Leaving them with a kind of awkward situation, even with for their handlers in the mainstream media. Chris Van Hollen, asked by Dana Vash over the weekend after his trip to El Salvador, where he enjoyed margaritas with his MS-13 friend and wife beater folks. We now, over the weekend, came out written in her own hand. She describes him as a violent individual who she is afraid of. So Dana Vash, CNN, to her credit, finally asks Senator Chris Van Hollen a real question. Well, you were with him there in El Salvador. You were with St. Kilmar. Did you ask him if he was an MS-13 member? Here's how that went.
In 2019, police alleged a confidential informant claimed that Abrego Garcia was an active MS-13 member. His wife and his attorney deny that, of course. Can you say with absolute certainty that he is not, nor has he ever been, a member of the MS-13 gang? And did you ask him point blank?
Well, Dana, what Donald Trump is trying to do here is change the subject. The subject at hand is that he and his administration are defying a court order to give Abrego Garcia his due process rights. They are trying to litigate.
Well, he babbles on. It's him, the senator, who's trying to say, change the subject. Dana Bash, to her credit, comes back around to, okay, Trump's a bad dude. Yeah, I know, he's mean to illegals. But you were there with him. You were sipping margaritas. Did you ask him? Come on. Are you an MS-13 gang member? What did he say?
Yeah, you're right. They have not, there hasn't been a court hearing for them to put forward evidence in the first place, which is your whole point. But since you were the one person to have met with him, and since this is a thing, you say, in social media, it's what we hear from Donald Trump and Republicans every day, all day long, you didn't ask him?
I didn't ask him that because I know what his answer is. What he told me was he was sad and traumatized that he was being in prison because he has committed no crimes.
Okay. Democrats moving. Right. No. In other words, he didn't ask him because he knows he's an MS-13 gang member. Democrats moving so many goalposts here. The new goalpost is, well, we have to keep the wife-beating MS-13 gang member if he did not commit any crimes in America. I mean, beyond the one he committed by illegally coming over our border. They have to commit crime. We have to keep every single one of them until there's a dead body like Rachel Marin. Then we're good. Then we can maybe talk about deporting them eventually. But knowing the Democrats, probably not even then. Why? Remember how we ended the week last week?
Over 13,099 convicted murderers have crossed the border and are free to roam and kill in our country. These are convicted murderers.
You see the problem there. In fact, when asked, where are we in the deportation process? It's been amazing that there's only been, Trump's only been in office in within a few months. He's managed to move to hunt down and remove 2,000 of them. He's saying his focus last week is on the remaining 11,000. So understand, Democrats don't just intend to leave these people in this country, let them run around waiting for them to commit a crime that would then allow us to deport them. No, they intend to allow murderers to roam free in this country without deportation. That's what's unsaid here. Trump focused on that last week.
Right now, we're getting the murderers out. We have our total aim on the very bad ones, as you can imagine, because you have some great people that came in, but we have some very bad ones. We had 11,088 murderers. Half of them killed more than one person. Mm-hmm. These are rough, bad people. We want them out. And that's mostly our focus.
Yeah.
So that's showing you, folks, how bad this particular population that the Democrats allowed to roam free in our country actually is. And, you know, on that score, St. Kilmer is really not even the best example. I mean, he's merely a MS-13 human trafficking wife beater. Shocking stuff, by the way, coming out over the weekend about the FBI lie. And keep in mind, folks, this is the same FBI lie that sent, you know, full pre-dawn raid, shock and awe for upwards of 1,000 people connected to January 6th who didn't even enter the building and yet were arrested. And they will roll up to your house, they'll call local news, make sure they're there for maximum humiliation. And yet we find out over the weekend when the Tennessee Highway Patrol caught St. Kilmer driving a car that wasn't his, no insurance, no, an expired license. Seven people in the car, no ID for any of them. All of them gave his address. He was human trafficking them. And it turns out he was on a list of transnational criminals, you know, to be on the lookout for. There's yet another group of people who think he's a criminal. What happens? Tennessee Highway Patrol calls Biden's FBI lie. They're like, no, let him go. This is the same FBI lie, again, rolling up to your grandma's house to arrest her for taking a selfie outside the Capitol, as well as in. Most of the people inside the Capitol were peaceful. They had the doors held open for them by the Capitol Police, which created the impression that it was okay to go in. It was a trap. But a lot of them weren't even in, and they got the full pre-dawn raid. But you call the Biden FBI, hey, we've got a human trafficker here. He's on the international watch list for transnational criminals. You want us to pick him up? No, no. The FBI said release him. So that's the dual justice system in America. This is a situation created entirely by Joe Biden. Meanwhile, over the weekend, Senator Chris Van Hollen slips, calling St. Kilmer, Abrego Garcia, an American. This is how the Democrats think now. If you get your foot on this soil, you are, in fact, an American.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your websites, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the things that the leftist media does, it's very shocking to me, because it's never really made sense to me. If I told a big lie, if I were them, and I got away with it, I'd just go on lying. But they don't. They never do. Every one of their major lies and hoaxes, which is to say most of their big political stories are major lies or hoaxes in some way, they eventually tell their sheeple the truth. It's just always after it no longer matters. In other words, they've done maximum damage. They've had maximum political impact. They don't need the lie anymore. They will correct themselves. Hunter Biden laptop's a great example of that. They insisted, well, we'll never know if it's real. We just can't know. And we just, yeah, but they never mind that the New York Post was able to know in a weekend. It's not very hard to check if the laptop's real by matching it to emails and what's in the cloud. These aren't hard things if you want to find the truth. But they could have ignored it. They could have stuck with what they reported. But no, they always come back and tell the truth. I've started to think that the reason for this is to beat down people on our side. Well, you know, you can challenge the lies. You're going to be called a Russian disinformer and every name in the book. You're going to be accused of lying yourself. And in the end, we'll get away with it. I think they do it to mock us. Look, we got away with another one. I think they're proud of it, too. Getting away with their major hoaxes and lies. Over the weekend, it happened again. The messenger this time was Chuck Todd, formerly of NBC News. shockingly admitting, because remember, we were told it was a conspiracy theory, that the right was systematically deplatformed after January 6th. Now, it actually began before, censored and silenced. Now, if you said that in 2024, or really even in 2023, you were a disinformer, you deserved to be deplatformed, you were paranoid, you were a conspiracy theorist. This is what you're always told. You're crazy. When it's actually just, no, they're lying. Here's Chuck Todd not only admitting, he's on a podcast now, by the way. He's not with NBC anymore. This keeps happening too when they get their own podcast, like Chris Cuomo, and there's not that big pressure to lie at the networks. They start telling the truth a little bit, I think just to get an edge, just to get clips, just to get attention so that somebody will tune in. They can make some money. But I don't know. Maybe they just don't have the day-to-day pressure to lie anymore. Here's Chuck Todd actually admitting all of this happened and that it was a mistake. Whatever his reasons, it's good to finally hear the truth about this from a mainstream media figure.
There's no doubt Trump wants some revenge.
Sure.
Right? On the law firms, on yeah. press, whatever, you know. But let's not beat around the bush. All these institutions did want to cancel Trump.
Yeah.
Did want him inoperable in mainstream public. You know, I think the biggest mistake, and I did not follow the Pied Piper on this one, which was this idea that we deplatform everybody post January 6th. This is a democracy. This is the First Amendment. And I, you know, all of a sudden now you've got law firms or what's going on and all this stuff. It's like, look, that was a bad moment. That doesn't mean, look, I understand the passion of that moment.
Right.
Yeah. But my God, the whole point of the Constitution is to protect minority rights, not majority rights. Yeah. The whole damn thing was written to protect minority rights. And so, yeah, you may not like that speech, but speech is speech.
And that was my show during the whole thing. It was happening. It was systematic. And notice what he says there, the way he puts it. When he talks about who did the deplatforming, he doesn't come the rest of the way and say the Biden administration. I mean, who else could have done it? But he's saying, we made a mistake. We deliberately and systematically silenced and deplatformed people in violation of the Constitution. If he knows that now, that this was in violation of the Constitution, he knew it then. They all did. And yet, what did they do? Gaslight us. Oh, that's not happening. No, that's disinformation. You're confused. You're just so very confused. But we never are. We never are. Chuck Todd says that this deplatforming ultimately led to Trump having to build an entirely new ecosystem to deliver information, which they don't control, and pushing us to do that ultimately has led to the left's demise.
And the decision to deplatform bit mainstream media in the ass. Why? Okay, Donald Trump started his own information ecosystem. How do you like them apples now?
Right.
And then, you know, I sit here, it's like traditional media, what's happened?
Yeah.
You did try to deplatform. Yeah. It was a mistake. Somebody ought to come up and say, this was a mistake.
I did. The whole time they were doing it. So finally we get to submission over the weekend. Yeah, we did. We silenced y'all to violate the Constitution. It's kind of illegal. Yeah, major civil rights violation. Yeah, I guess we shouldn't have done it. Bummer. Folks, you know what's so galling is to see people like Mahmoud Khalil and ultimately even St. Kilmar, Abrigo Garcia. And what are they screaming about? Due process. They're here in America. They have constitutional rights too. We have to honor them. We love the Constitution. We're big into the Constitution. Not for us, you weren't. Not for us. I don't get a hearing before my YouTube channel's taken. They just took it. And we later find out, remember, from Zuckerberg, that, look, when I was censoring, I wasn't censoring because I wanted to censor. I pushed back. And when I pushed back, they launched criminal investigations against me in punishment. So this was done in a hostile criminal manner.
We said, no, we're not going to take down humor and satire. We're not going to take down things that are true. And I don't know. Then like all these different agencies and branches of government basically just like started investigating and coming after our company. It was brutal.
Yeah. Look, I'm not sympathetic to him, but he's explaining to me, look, I was alone. You saw the same thing happen to Elon Musk with Joe Biden's Department of Justice vowing to put him in prison, getting beaten by his attorneys, and then doing interviews with the Wall Street Journal in which they bragged they were going to do a better job this time. They were coming back with new criminal charges. So not even hiding it. That basically they used the threat of prison to silence Americans via the owners of these social media outlets. So we've got one member of the mainstream media admitting we did it. It violated the Constitution. Probably shouldn't have done it. And you know what's interesting about Chuck Todd admitting this? Again, he's formerly of NBC. He presided over all this. He didn't say this when he was on the air. Didn't care. Clearly knew. Knew what reality was, but didn't care. It's only now that he needs to attract ears and eyeballs for his podcast that he cares. But hey, we welcome him. Otherwise, just pretending none of it happened. And they do this. They gaslight you. Oh, no, that's not real. Not real at all. All right. Overnight, China is warning that it will retaliate against countries aligning with the U.S. on trade. Folks, we're going to get into this. When China says stuff like that, given the fact that they weaponized COVID, that we know for a fact that they have deadlier strains of COVID in the bioweapons lab, given the fact that in December, Wall Street Journal had this now 2 weeks ago, we know for a fact that they confessed to the Biden administration that they had cyber attacked the United States of America. We know they're in our water processing plants, our nuke plants. We know they're in our ports. When they say we will retaliate against countries aligning with the U.S. on trade, folks, that is a fully loaded warning. That doesn't just mean, oh, hey, we'll put some tariffs on you. It could. But it also could mean your water treatment plants fail. Could mean your nuke plant melts down. Could mean they let out a deadlier strain of COVID. Could mean anything. By the way, new Rasmussen, when you say we'll let out a strain, we don't know that they did. No, we can't prove that yet. New poll over the weekend, Rasmussen asked, do you believe COVID was deliberately released? 48% of America says yes. So when the people who did that say we're going to retaliate, read between the lines, that might not mean on trade. Well, if you're just tuning in, good morning. Happy Monday. The Pope Francis, has died at age 88. That's the big breaking news this morning, happened overnight. Given the time change, the shift in time zones, he did die on Easter. And if you turn on the television, radio, and it's just round-the-clock Pope coverage. Pope's death coverage is always historic when a Pope dies. So that is the big breaking news this morning. The other big breaking news this morning, or it should be, gold price hits fresh all-time high, surpassing $3,400 for the first time. Price of gold futures contracts for June 2025 delivery hit a fresh all-time high Monday, trading on the COMEX exchange. It's a division of the New York Mercantile Exchange. It surpassed $3,400 per troy ounce, according to trading data. So that is a record. You've been keeping your eye on gold lately. It's a little dicey, especially since it's kind of a proxy in some ways for the stability of the currency and just the general fiscal, political situation. All right, let's jump on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 800-905-0989. If you're new to the show, that number is the number you can call, but it's also the number you can text, 800-905-0989. Texter writes, illegals don't justify for the Constitution or any civil rights in the United States. Yeah, I think the Supreme Court will decide that. Unfortunately, over the, or something like that, unfortunately, over the weekend, you saw a full-on revolt and almost bizarre ruling by the Supreme Court with a scorching dissent by Thomas and Alito. And Amy Coney Barrett, I mean, fully is now an anti-Trumper, I think, on the court and very much a part of the liberal majority. I mean, she's just about there. Not surprising. I predicted that when Trump wanted to appoint her. It was part of a series of disaster appointments by Trump that really defined his first term and kind of ruined it. But Amy Coney Barrett, firmly with the liberals. One of the things you're starting to see, if you look at the pattern with her, she's not just a liberal. She's in particular a liberal when it comes to any border issue. She is a true open border zealot. You can see that with the pattern of her rulings. But they ruled, they put an emergency order. He is not allowed to deport any more gang members using the Alien Enemies Act. Now, he can still deport them other ways, but those ways are often slower. And the benefit of the Alien Enemies Act is that he could send them to El Salvador, pay Bukele to keep them there so they can't sneak back over the border. These are very dangerous and deadly individuals that he is sending there. So they just said he can't do it, period, bar none. There are so many problems with this ruling. Number one, they didn't even have a lower court ruling to overturn. Alito's saying, well, there's no precedent for this. This doesn't make sense. Their ruling was so bizarre that at this point, in order to avoid being deported, you could theoretically volunteer, even incorrectly, that you are a gang member. In other words, hey, you can't deport me. Supreme Court says so. I'm a gang member. Using the Alien Enemies Act. Now, you could still do it other ways. But that was going to be a cheap, easy way that Trump could get them out of the country en masse. And that's not, unfortunately, going to be an option for him now. Look, there's still other ways to do it, but yeah. Eric Daughtry tweets on X, the courts never stop Biden from mass importing criminals. The courts keep ruling Trump must halt his deportation of criminals. This is the problem with the fundamental imbalances between the right and the left. They exploit everything and it becomes a Mount Everest climb to reverse it. Very well said.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.